for joy to the Lord. All the earth, worship the Lord with gladness. Come before him with joyful songs. Know that the Lord is God, and it is he who made us. We are his. We are his people, the sheep of his pasture. Enter his gates with thanksgiving and his courts with praise. Give thanks to him and praise his name, for the Lord is good, and his love endures forever. His faithfulness continues through all generations. It says in the Bible, John 1:9, it says, if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just, and will forgive us for our sins and purify us from all unrighteousness. I think that means, if we make a mistake, if we make a bad choice, which is guaranteed in life, everybody's going to make a mistake, and they're going to sin. But when you do, know that you can go to God and say, I'm sorry, Lord. He will forgive you. He will help you not do that again. He will help you not make that same mistake again. Because any time of your life, when you're in a bad moment of your life, he will be leading the way, helping you through that bad moment or that mistake that happened. He will forgive you. So know, when you leave here, know that you can go to God and say, Lord, please forgive me. Because he will. And he will help you not make the same mistake. And he will help you become closer with him. When you leave, remember, you can always ask for forgiveness from God. He will give. And with that, let's have a great service. Thank you all. God bless.
Thank you, Ivy. Good morning.
Good morning.
Good morning.
What a beautiful Sunday. Even if it's rainy, we needed the rain anyway.
Yes.
So thanks be to God for this Sunday morning that God has given us one more day in this world. And it's also Mother's Day. Happy Mother's Day to all here, our mothers here. And we have a special service today with some special music with Wayne and Lisa did some special arrangements, and so we'll be looking forward to hearing that. And also, we happened to get a new organ. It was a surprise that we talked about it a couple of weeks ago with Wayne. And he said, well, we don't have the money probably to get one. So my wife and I were driving, and we saw a music store saying clearance sale. So we just walked into there, and they said, somebody asked me, what do you want? I said, we are looking for an organ for our church. Our organ is like 100 years old. It doesn't work here. So he said, well, I can help you. Here is a floor model that we have been trying to sell, but we can give you a good deal on it. So come to bottom line is that we got it so very cheap, less than $500, a grand piano. So I said, I'm going to get it right now. I went back to my home, took my truck, and then called Pastor Nelson to help me out to come and do it. So I did it everything this week. Okay. Thanks be to God, how God works together.
Yeah.
and the greatest blessing is that Wayne can play both. Not everybody can do that. So we need to be so grateful that God has given us so many talents. Yes. And we need to pray for him because he's going to have a knee surgery in summer. So he won't be out too long. So let us keep in our prayers. And we have the old organ here. I know there are some people who told me that their generations have played on it. So if somebody knows if there's some value to it for someone, please take it. Otherwise, we'll have to...
Did Jack donate that?
Yeah, I heard some family donate.
Jack donated that organ.
Okay, so if you know him, or I heard Gail's or Kevin's mom played it for years. So if you know somebody who is interested in it, in a sentimental value, so ask them to come and please get it. You can give me a call. Or we'll have to probably give it away. That's probably we'll have to do, because it's heavy and take a lot of space. So let me know if you have that. Thank you all for continued prayers for this church. And God is doing great, wonderful things through this church. If you can, turn with me to the announcements, the second in the bulletin, that's the regular announcements. I don't want to go through every one of them. We do have a food bank ministry. You can donate in cash or in kind that help us, the poor people in this community. And our third Thursday luncheon is this week, actually. It's May 15th. I will add that in the bulletin, May 15th. at 1 p.m. Change the location is changed to Cracker Barrel because I don't know if we did it or somebody did it. This place that we used to meet is burned down. So now we had to change location to Cracker Barrel. So 1 o'clock at Cracker Barrel incoming. My wife and I will be traveling. We will be definitely out 2 Sundays, the last Sunday in May and the first Sunday in June, maybe 3 Sundays, we don't know. Pastor Tim Owens offered to come and help us during this time. He'll be here through the end of June. So that is a great blessing that we were able to have Pastor Tim and his wife Jenny here. Welcome again, and thanks for your willingness and your grace to come here to bless us. It's been a blessing. And thank you for your continued and faithful support in the ministries of the church by your prayers, your presence, gifts, service, and witness. God loves a cheerful giver. Let us use our opportunities that God has given us in this community, in this time of history, so that we will be faithful in using the opportunities to serve others. And also you can donate through our website. Please check it out. Many of you are using it, and you know how that convenient it is. So please use the opportunities that you have over the website to pay in different ways. Those are my announcements. Anybody have any special announcements? Anything else? Anybody? Glad that you are here.
Yeah.
Those are the announcements. If nobody has any special announcements, let us worship God together. This is the day that the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it. If you are able, please stand for the opening hymn. Hymn number 61. Come Thou Almighty King.
Father, thank you for this opportunity to come and worship you today, and thank you, Lord, for the special day that we have to honor our mothers and to remember those of us who, our mothers have already gone to be with you. Lord, we thank you for the gift of mothers, the way that you provide your care and your love. Thank you, Lord, for all of us who have had that wonderful privilege of having godly mothers. Lord, thank you for allowing us to join and lift.
Yeah, I'll,
yeah.
So we'll take some a moment to recognize our mothers this time, and I will distribute the flowers now to all the mothers and mother-to-bes. You don't have to give birth to your mother. As Mother Teresa has showed, that you don't have to give birth. All women are mothers who care for others. And through our pains, through their pains, a mother's pains, that we have been born into this world. And just like that, through the pains and sufferings of Jesus Christ, we have been born into the kingdom of God. The second birth that we have. Unless you are born again, you would not see the kingdom of God. That's what Jesus said. So that is a mother's reflection of how Jesus Christ's suffering relates to your mother's pain. This Sunday is very important to all of us, we know. But to some, it may be a difficult time to remember through their pains and probably a grief that they're going through, the separation of their mother. So we'll have a special prayer for our mothers and women who have gone through difficult times raising their children and also in their family lives. Only women get that. I was going to take one for himself. And we have a special gift for two mothers that we usually do. And the eldest or the oldest mother in the congregation today and the youngest mother. So I will start maybe somebody, you know, I don't know how to start it. 90 and up, raise your hand. Maybe 89 and up.
Nobody.
85 and up. Okay. You have Linda. You usually have Jean here for that. Now you can share it with her. Now for the youngest mother, I don't know if I want to start 25 and younger, or maybe 40 and younger. 45 and younger. 45 and younger. 50 and younger.
It's at least 47.
I'll be 47 on Wednesday.
All right. Congratulations to all the mothers. Let us give them a hand. Thank you. Let's have a word of prayer. Loving God, we thank you for the blessing that you pour out up on us through our mothers. Those women of faith who have been mothers to us along our journey in this world. We remember and thank you for their presence and guidance in their lives. We also remember the mothers who are strong, grant gentleness and understanding to them, O God. For the mothers who are weak, grant grace to meet their every need. Lord, we call forth your compassion to every mother who may have failed. We lift those women who have lost a child to death and must carry on. We lift to you the heart of every mother who has watched her child die of hunger or abuse, and also every mother who had been a victim of injustice. We raise to you, O God, for every woman who is working day and night to raise her children right now. Lord, remember all these who may be going through painful situations on this Mother's Day. We pray for those who desperately want to be parents, O God, but have been unable to. Give them your hope, O God. We thank you again for the celebration of our mothers. Continue to bless us this world through the mothers that you are giving us every day. Thank you for your presence in our midst. Bless us, Lord. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen.
Okay, Ivy, will you pass these out to the congregation, please? Today's congregation choice is a chorus that we used to do here years ago. In the past, we sang a chorus at the beginning and the end of each service. And this is one that was a favorite of all time, entitled Alleluia. We will sing verses 1, 2, and 4. And Ivy is passing it out to you now. Please stand and join us as we sing Hallelujah.
Standing, we will read the scripture responsive reading, which is on page 748 of the Blue Book, Psalm 16, verses 5 to 11.
The Lord is my chosen portion, and my cup you hold my lot.
The lines have fallen for me in pleasant places. I have glorious heritage.
I bless the Lord who gives me counsel. Even at night my heart instructs me.
I have set the Lord always before me. The Lord is at my right hand. I shall not be moved.
Therefore my heart is glad, and my soul rejoices. My body also dwells secure.
For you do not give me up to Sheol, or let your godly one see the pit.
You show me the path of life.
In your presence there is fullness of joy. In your right hand are pleasures forevermore.
The word of God for the people of God.
Thanks be to God.
Please be seated. This is our prayer time now, where we bring our prayers of praises and thank God for all the blessings that we receive in our lives. And also we bring our prayers of concerns and burdens. Together as a church family, we share that with each other. And also we lift them up to the throne of grace of God, united in faith, because God's promise in His word that if we unite in faith and pray for our dear ones, and God will answer our prayers and for our needs also. It's a privilege that we can pray for ourselves and also for others, as we call intercession. So we use this time to share our prayers of praises and concerns. If you turn the back of the bulletin, those are the new prayer requests that we have in the boxes listed there. Please pray for these items and these people. Uh, We will take off Thomas John and George Richard Jones because we heard that they were improving really well. So next week we'll take those two names out. Thanks be to God for the healing that God has given them. And we continue to pray for Jean McBride. She's online with us. I can't see her face, but I know she's listening. So she's online. So Jean, we'll be praying for you, and we'll love you, and we'll remember you during this Mother's Day. And pray for Grace Haynes, Harry Bezor, Carol. Carol is here with us. And also Jerry Raines. Pray, as I reminded you, please pray for Wayne. And also Miss Lou is here after her back procedure. Thanks be to God for that. And pray for the family of Tiffany, who is grieving at the death of their dear ones, for peace and comfort. Let us pray for our service workers, our military, fire, police, grocery clerks and trash workers, and many, many others, delivery people, mailmen. Let us remember all of those people who serve us behind the scenes and be thankful for their services. And let us keep them in our prayers and their families for their safety. Let us pray for our nation, our president, our leaders of the Congress, and governors and many others who make decisions on a daily basis that affect our lives. Let us pray that God will give them the wisdom to do the right things and make the right decisions. Let us also pray for world leaders, that they will also fear God when they make decisions that will bring peace to this world. And when I announced that I was going to India, Norman reminded me, be careful, you don't want to go there this time, because there's a war going on there. But God is good. So we are still planning on, my mom is living there, she's 96 going 97, I go there, visit her every year. So as long as she is alive, I have to go, regardless of war or peace. So we will go. God is good, and God is going to be good. So let us keep our travel in our prayers also. So please continue to remember the victims of the earthquakes. And there was an earthquake yesterday, but I didn't hear any problems with Tennessee and Georgia. We felt it in the morning. I don't know how many you felt it, but I don't think there was any damages or any life lost here. It was like a minor one in Tennessee. Let us pray for our church, that God has given this church as a milestone in this place and in this time of history, that God gave us this opportunity to be here. Let us share the love of Christ to others who are in need and continue to do the work of the kingdom of God as long as we can and as long as God gives us the opportunity. So pray that God will guide us in the future, and pray for all the churches in this community, the pastors, the ministers, all those who take leadership in these churches, and the church at large around the world, the missionaries who work in various parts of the world, particularly in parts that are very hard to reach in many parts of the world. So let us remember those people in our prayers. Those are the requests that I have to announce. Anybody have any special requests for special prayer requests? If not, let us go to God in prayer for a few moments in silent prayer, and then I will close with a summarized prayer. Let us pray. He who did not spare his own son, but gave him up for us all, how will he not also, along with him, graciously give us all things? Gracious and merciful God, we thank you for the gift of life that you have given us in this world. It was not because of our choice, only because of your choice that we are alive here today. We thank you for the manifold blessings, the gift of family, friends, and church. And above all, we thank you for the gift of salvation that you gave through your Son, Jesus Christ. We come before you with our blessings to thank you, O God, with a heart full of gratefulness. And also we come before you to bring our burdens and concerns, O God, as your children. Many of us are broken in many different ways in our bodies and in our souls and in our spirits. The scripture says, even youths grow tired and weary, and young men stumble and fall, but those who hope in the Lord will renew their strength. Lord, we come before you hoping in your mercies for us, Lord. When we are lonely, you are our friend. When we go through life's sorrows and loss, you give us comfort and peace. You are the source of all true healing, O God, and we lift up our dear ones who need healing in their bodies. We pray for Jean McPrayer and Grace Haynes and Harry Basur and Carol Clemens. We thank you for the progress of health that you have given to Thomas John and George Richard Jones. Pray for Jerry Raines also. We remember Wayne Clemens. Thank you for being with him through this procedure and also for his future surgery. We pray that you will give him healing according to your time and grace, Lord. Strengthen him in his body and spirit. We pray for all those who are looking to you for their healing in their bodies, Lord. We pray for the family of Tiffany. We need peace in their lives at this time as they're grieving. We pray for those who are affected by various problems in this world, especially the earthquakes in Asia and the wars that are happening in various parts of the world. We pray that you'll be with them and give them the grace during this time of turmoil and problems. We pray for our service workers, our military, fire, police, our grocery clerks and trash workers, and many, many others who serve us on a daily basis behind the scenes. Lord, we thank you for their services. We pray for their safety and their family's safety during this season. We pray for our nation, our president, vice president, leaders of the Congress, and governors and mayors, many, many others who make decisions, Lord, that affect our lives. We pray that you will give them the wisdom and the fear of God in their hearts, that they will make the right decisions that will bring peace and unity in this country. We pray for world leaders also, and they will also fear God when they make decisions, especially the nations that are fighting each other. We pray your special guidance upon the leaders of those countries, Lord, that they will come to a settlement and a peace so that we can enjoy peace in this world. We pray for our church. Even thank you for this opportunity that you gave us in this community to be here. Help us, Lord, to be faithful in doing your work to be a blessing to this community. Bless us today, Lord, as we worship together. Bless all the churches that are worshiping in this community and around the world to lift up your name, to glorify your name, that your people be blessed by your presence, Lord. Help us to worship you in truth and in spirit, in the singing, in the prayers, and the meditation of the word that we do here, Lord. Bring honor and glory to your name and blessing to your people. We pray this prayer in the name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, who taught us to pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. Now the ushers may come forward and take up the offertory, please.
Doxology.
Praise God from whom all blessings flow. Praise Him, all creatures here below. Praise Him above the heavenly hosts. Praise Father,
Father, thank you for every gift that you give us in this life each day. We pray that those who are able to give, that you bless them, and those who are not able to give today, that you bless them as well, and that this offering can be used to help those in need and bless your kingdom and continue to further your kingdom to those who may not know you. So we love you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen.
Please be seated.
Last year, I asked Lisa to come up with something for Mother's Day. I assumed she would go through some books and choose something appropriate. But instead, she sat down with a guitar, pencil and paper, and wrote a song. She sang it last year. We liked it, and we asked her to sing it again. You have anything to say about the song, Lisa, maybe for the ones that didn't hear it last year?
I thought about Mother's Day and what mothers were, so the name of the song is What is a Mother? And I hope you like it. What is a mother but a dewdrop from heaven? The smile in her child's eyes. She's like no other from an early perception. She's loving. Patience she shows as her children they grow into adults and mothers alike. And when we're feeling low, it's just how she knows to bring peace and to make things all right. It's just God's plan. A mother's hand reaching out so that we'll feel his love. She'll guide our steps where she can as he watches and loves from above. So thank God for our mothers and their cherish time. I pray for yours and pray for mine and those who've passed so sweet and kind. Just close your eyes and you will find that mother's love from above. For setting me up like this morning. Okay, and if we can all stand for the scripture reading today, it comes from Acts 2, verses 22 through 36. Fellow Israelites, listen to this. Jesus of Nazareth was a man accredited by God to you by miracles, wonders, and signs, which God did among you through him, as you yourselves know. This man was handed over to you by God's deliberate plan and foreknowledge, and you, with the help of wicked men, put him to death by nailing him to the cross. But God raised him from the dead, freeing him from the agony of death, because it was impossible for death to keep its hold on him. David said about him, I saw the Lord always before me. Because he is at my right hand, I will not be shaken. Therefore, my heart is glad, and my tongue rejoices. My body also will rest in hope. Because you will not abandon me to the realm of the dead, you will not let your Holy One see decay. You have made known to me the paths of life. You fill me with your joy in your presence. Fellow Israelites, I can tell you confidently that the patriarch David died and was buried, and his tomb is here to this day. But he was a prophet and knew that God had promised him an oath that he would place one of his descendants on his throne. Seeing what was to come, he spoke of the resurrection of the Messiah, that he was not abandoned to the realm of the dead, nor did his body see decay. God has raised this Jesus to life, and we are all witnesses of it. Exalted to the right hand of God, he has received from the Father the promised Holy Spirit and has poured out what you now see and hear. For David did not ascend to heaven, and yet he said, "The Lord said to my Lord, sit at my right hand, until I make your enemies a footstool for your feet." Therefore, let all Israel be assured of this. God has made this Jesus, whom you crucified, both Lord and Messiah. The word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God.
Please be seated.
Thank you so much, Lisa, for reading another long passage of Scripture. And thank you so much for that song, too. That was beautiful. Very well done. Well, again, I know I said this last week, but I just want to say it one more time, if I can. Pastor Matthew, I want to tell you how much I appreciate you letting me be here and teach and preach for this short period of time while your pastor prepares to go to India. And then while he is gone, it is a great privilege for me to be here. I was talking to Mark, and again, I still can't get over the fact that Mark and I grew up in the same town, walking in a church and coming so far away from Lithonia, Georgia, and there's a childhood friend. It still just blows me away. But Mark was trying to clarify this morning. He said, "Are you going to be preaching May and June?" And I said, "Yes, Mark, but God will give you patience. And I'm sure he will you too." As I take this time to help your pastor and help him prepare for his trip. Thank you so much. God bless. You're very blessed to have him. He has a wonderful spirit, and he really carries himself in such a Christ-like way. And it's an honor to be here in your pulpit, and I take that responsibility very seriously. So what I want to do, and just kind of give you a preview, maybe this will put the pastor's heart at ease while he's going to India. What I want to do while I'm here, up until Pentecost, is I'm going to be, with the Lord's help, preaching from passages that just remind us of some of the realities of the resurrection. And I do that because if you look in your bulletin, you can see that we are still in the Easter season, in the Christian calendar. Mm-hmm. And we are in the Easter season until Pentecost. You know, so often we kind of treat Easter as a cultural holiday and we preach about the resurrection on Easter. And I'm saying this for myself, not other pastors. Sometimes it's been so easy to kind of just go forward and really kind of leave Easter behind. And I don't want to do that, so from now until Pentecost Sunday, I want to be preaching on, teaching on some texts that have some connection to the resurrection. Now, when I say the resurrection, I'm saying that in the broadest possible terms. I'm talking about what has happened in history after Christ has been raised from the dead. And that includes not only that physical resurrection, but his exaltation, his ascension, his ministry at the right hand of the Father. And in that vein this morning, I want us to think about his exaltation, the exalted one that we worship today. But in order to do that, what I want to do, this is going to be very simple. I want us to look at Peter's sermon here, part of it, and just look at how Peter builds the case for Christ being exalted. And he begins with Christ's earthly ministry. He brings his hearers through the crucifixion, the resurrection, and then his exaltation. So that will be our study this morning. But before we embark on that, let's pray once more and ask the Lord to give us his Holy Spirit as we hear his word. Father, I do pray that your Holy Spirit would come now, speak to us, Lord. I know that my words will fall on the ground, Lord, without your Spirit. So, Father, I pray that your Spirit would come. Come, Holy Spirit, and speak to us. Show us Christ. In his name we pray. Amen. You'll notice at Peter's sermon here, this portion of it, and to be honest with you, I've never really noticed it to the depth I have when I've studied it this week. It's really a fascinating progression that speaks of the person of Christ. And he progresses by preaching to those people in Jerusalem that day of really four movements, if you will, in the life of Christ. The first is that he was attested by God. And we're going to talk about that, the first couple of these, rather briefly. He was attested by God, or he was endorsed by God. He was delivered up to death. He was raised from the dead. And then finally, he was exalted. So I want us to really end this morning on that idea of Christ being exalted. But if you will, listen carefully to the Word of God this morning and hear Peter's progression. The first thing that he tells us, if you do have a Bible, or if you noticed it on the screen, in verse 22, Peter says, "Men of Israel, hear these words. Jesus of Nazareth, a man attested to you by God with mighty works and wonders and signs that God did through him in your midst." What Peter is saying here is something that's very important. As we look back at the Gospels and we look back at the ministry of Jesus, we see the work of the Father through him, through the signs and through the miraculous works that Jesus did. Jesus said this over and over again when he ministered on the earth. He told it to the poor that heard him gladly, and he told it to the religious leaders that rejected him, that it was his Father who was working through him, that it was God who did the works. As we look at the Gospels and we see Jesus, we see him doing works of healing. We see him doing works that exhibit his rule over nature. We're used to thinking of that as an exhibition of who God is, what the character of God is like. And that is so true as Jesus reaches out his hand to heal, as he reaches out his hand to raise the dead. But it is not only that. It is not only to show us the character of God, it is to show us that Jesus of Nazareth was indeed sent by God, that he was the promised one, the Messiah. We know from reading the Old Testament that the Old Testament prophets prophesied of one who would come, who would raise the dead, who would heal the lepers, who would do mighty works of power. And when Jesus came, that was God attesting to all that saw Jesus. And those of us who see him now in the pages of Scripture and hear his voice in the pages of Scripture, that is God attesting to the fact that this is my Son. Hear him. Now, why is that important? Again, this is a brief point, but I do hope you'll hear it carefully, because it is very important for two reasons. First of all, I think it should remind us of the authority of the Bible. You know, if we look in the church history, and I know many of us who have served the Lord for a long time, I know, Pastor Lou, you're familiar with this, I'm sure. The late 19th century, the early 20th century in American church history, there was a very harmful force that invaded many churches in America. And it was a force of disbelief. It was a force of theological liberalism that in many cases even crept into pulpits, and pastors, because of their theological education, actually taught their people not to believe the miraculous aspects of Scripture. Beloved, we must never obey that voice, because all of the acts of Jesus that are recorded in the Gospels are true. And it's important that we see them as true, because they attest to who he is. That Jesus of Nazareth is the Son of God. He is the one who was sent, the Messiah sent by God. Now, I had an interesting experience not long ago, a couple of weeks ago. A woman... if you think, well, Tim, you're talking about 19th century, 20th century, maybe this is a little too old a history for us. I had a call a couple of weeks ago from a lady who was attending a church that I pastored for 10 years. And she was very, very upset because the pastor there had preached a sermon on the feeding of the 5,000. And I couldn't believe this. The pastor, now I didn't hear this sermon myself. Okay, I don't know this to be fact. But according to her, the pastor had actually taught the congregation that morning that was just a moral lesson. That they were not to believe that Jesus had fed the 5,000. And she was so upset with that she was going to leave the church. You know, and under normal circumstances, I never encourage people to leave a church. But may I say to you, and I'm sure this pastor friend of mine would agree, if anyone is ever teaching you to disbelieve the Word of God, walk the other way. Amen. Amen. Because it is by the works of Jesus that we see God attesting to who He is. The Old Testament prophets only foretold of one who would come. Jesus is that one. I want to say just one other thing very briefly why this is important. Listen, if the miracles in the Bible aren't true, if what the gospel writers tell us about what Jesus did is not true, then we live in a closed universe. But when Jesus came, He was the absolute proof that our universe is not closed off. We're not just here subject to natural forces. In Jesus of Nazareth, the God of heaven stepped down into our brokenness and showed up and exercised His power to say, "This is my Son." So Peter says, "This man that you heard, that you saw His works of power, this is the Messiah." Also, Peter says that Jesus was not only attested to by God the Father, by His works, but He was delivered over to crucifixion. If you look at verse 23, Peter says, "This Jesus was delivered up according to the definite plan and foreknowledge of God, crucified and killed by the hands of lawless men." What Peter is saying to his audience there on the day of Pentecost, remember now, this is in many ways, a very hostile audience. The people that Peter is preaching to included those who were complicit in handing Jesus over to Pontius Pilate. In that very audience are those who were complicit in the crucifixion of Christ. And Peter says, in effect, in verse 23, that although Jesus was delivered over to the cross by the definite, detailed plan of God, He was delivered by the hands of sinful men. It's a very important passage here because Peter is reminding his audience here of the absolute sovereignty of God, that God orchestrated all the events of the cross. There was nothing accidental about the cross. There was nothing that was haphazard about the suffering that Jesus underwent for us on that cross. But even though that was planned by God and determined by God for our redemption, still those who put Him to death are guilty. What that should remind us of this morning, dear ones, is that, listen, anytime we oppose Christ, or anytime we reject Christ, we are standing against God. And God will hold us accountable to that. Christ was attested by His mighty works to be the Messiah. He was delivered over by the plan of God to suffer and to die for us. But then God raised Him from the dead. Now here's our resurrection connection this morning. Okay, and I want you to kind of hear this again in verse 24. "But God raised Him up, loosing the pains of death, because it was not possible for Him to be held by it." Now I won't read all of that passage there, but if you remember what Lisa read to us, Peter says something really very extraordinary. He says that it was not possible for Christ to be held captive by death. I want you to think about that for a moment, because there's something very comforting and very hopeful about that, that it was not possible that death could hold him. And why do you think that would be? Why do you think it was not possible for death to hold Jesus? Well, on one level, we could all probably agree that it was not possible because he is God and he is life, and in him was life, and that life was the light of man. And that is absolutely true. But what Peter is pointing to here is something else about the character of God that's very important for us to know. Peter says it was not possible for Jesus to be held captive by death, because long ago, through the prophet David, God had promised that there would be one who would sit upon the throne forever. If you remember your Old Testament, maybe, I hope this comes through from an old Sunday school lesson somewhere, that one of the major covenants that God made in the Bible was a covenant with David. And he said, David, there is coming one who will sit on the throne forever and forever and forever. You remember, even in the Christmas story in Advent, when Gabriel comes to Mary, he says that the child that she will bear will eventually have a kingdom that will have no end. God swore an oath to David that when the Messiah came, he would not leave his soul in hell or in Hades or in the region of the departed. He would not let his flesh suffer decay. He would raise him up, because he made an oath that there would be a king one day who would reign forever, forever, and forever. So that is why it was not possible that death could hold him. That should put a smile on somebody's face this morning. If Christ is your Lord, doesn't it stir your heart that death could not hold him? Amen. That he was the victor over the grave, as that old hymn tells us? That one day when we face death, if we are in Christ, if our faith is cemented to Christ, that eventually that grave that we are laid upon, that cold earth in which our body is laid, it will not hold us either.
Amen.
Because it could not hold him. I got an amen back there. Thank you, Pastor Lou. Thanks be to God. Death couldn't hold him. And God the Father, because of who Jesus was, listen, he raised him up. Now this is, and here's my last point. This is the conclusion, okay? I told you God would give you patience. God not only raised him up out of the grave, he not only raised him up out of the region of the dead, God raised him up to his right hand, and he exalted him. See, the right hand of God is the place of power. It is the place of authority. And what Peter says to those who were complicit, many of them, in his crucifixion, this Jesus, this one who was delivered over to the cross, this one who was raised from the dead, this one has now been exalted to the right hand of God. He has been elevated and exalted to a place of absolute power and authority. Now, let me conclude or move toward the conclusion by trying to remind you of how significant this is. As Peter gets to the end of this portion of his sermon, down in verse 36, he says to those who are listening, now, this is where things really matter here, okay? This is what is extraordinarily important about Peter's sermon. He says in verse 36, "Let all the house of Israel therefore know for certain that God has made him both Lord and Christ." That Jesus is Lord. That he is master. That he has been exalted to the right hand of the Father. Listen, dear ones, that proclamation calls for a verdict from us. If Christ is Lord, the obvious question that the sermon asks us, Peter's sermon, is he your Lord? Is he your master? I'm bivocational, just like Pastor was for many years, and we were going through a reorganization not long ago where I work, and some new people had been brought in, and folks had been moved around to different management positions. Some of y'all probably experienced that somewhere where you work, and you know, the kind of shuffle the cards and see how the deck comes out. And after this reorganization a while back, I had a lady come to me, and she was, you know, just basically reiterating the fact that she was my boss. And I mean, in a very, you know, very kind way. Nothing wrong. She was a very good boss, but just kind of, you know, establishing the, you know, the lines of authority in the organization that I reported to her. And then about 3 days later, this guy called me into his office, and he said, "I'm a completely different person, you know, a lady at first." And this gentleman calls me into his office. He said, "I'm sorry I haven't gotten with you yet since the reorganization. You know, I feel bad that I haven't talked to you about things since I'm your boss." And you, can you imagine how awkward that is? And suddenly I've got two bosses. Yeah. You know, didn't Jesus say something about no man can serve two masters? You know, listen, the confusion sometimes in our lives is this. We try to live our lives for multiple bosses. But Peter says there's only one that's Lord. It's today's Mother's Day, and my dear mother she taught Sunday school for 30 years in a little Methodist church where I was raised. And she used to have a shirt that said, "Serve all, worship one." And she wore that shirt a lot. You know, we're to be servants of all. But hear me, dear ones. There is only one Lord. He has been exalted to the right hand of the Father. Now listen, that calls for a decision today. Is he your Lord? Have you called upon him? Is your trust in Christ? But I also want to give you some very good news in this morning, that if he is your Lord, that is one of the most freeing things that you can embrace in your life. That I serve all, but I only have one master. I don't know about you guys, but I tell you, life can be complicated. I tell you, one of the things I've found out as I've grown older, Pastor, you probably found this out, Pastor, in church, you can't please everybody.
Amen.
And I'm telling you, and this has been a struggle of mine when I was much younger, I still struggle with it some days. If you're living life to please people rather than Christ, it is a recipe for a lot of unhappiness and unsettledness in your heart. Christ is Lord. He has been exalted to the right hand of the Father. And I pray today as we close the service, as we sing this beautiful old hymn of the church, "I Surrender All," I want to invite you to respond to Peter's message today. Where you are at this altar, where, however God leads you, remaining seated as we stand, whatever the case may be, would you hear the call today of one who has been exalted to the right hand of God? One who is not only Messiah, but one who is Lord. Would you surrender to him And if you don't know him today, if you've never turned to him and admitted your sin, would you turn to him today and cry out to you? We didn't read this part, but right before the passage where Lisa started, Peter has just finished quoting from the prophet Joel, and Joel is talking about the day of the Lord. The last thing that he quotes from Joel in verse 21 is this, "And it shall come to pass that whosoever will call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. And this one God has made both Christ and Lord." So would you call upon him today? As we stand and sing, "I Surrender All." would please receive the benediction. Now unto him who is able to keep you from falling and to present you faultless before his throne with exceeding great joy, to the only wise God, our Savior, be glory, honor, majesty, and power, both now and forevermore. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Did you turn it off there? Okay.